My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. What a win the Phillies are coming off last night. You know, they're down 4-0. I'm sitting there on my couch and I'm just thinking to myself, man, I'm going to get ready to do an absolutely miserable podcast tomorrow. You know, we have the whole Taijuan Walker ordeal on Wednesday, we'll call it. And then you go into the Braves series, you go, okay, I feel pretty good about myself. You're lining up Sanchez, and you got your other three great starters right behind him. All you got to do, you know, even if you split, or taking three or four, obviously preferable, but just split. Don't let this Atlanta Braves team feel any sort of life. And when they're down 4-0, I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're a couple wins away from this being, you know, a three-game division at the end of this series. But the Phillies bats end up coming through in the end. Brian Snicker, thank you for keeping in Charlie Morton. Definitely longer than he should have been in. I mean, they got some contact against them. It just kind of wasn't falling. And I thought maybe the approaches needed a little work, but they were able to come through when it mattered most. And they chased them there in that sixth inning. And then they went and, you know, they put up a five spot and they win the game. So it was really great to see them pull that game out last night. One of the wins of the season for sure. And I thought, you know, I'll get into Chris Sanchez and everything else in a little bit here, but I thought Chris Sanchez was okay. I didn't think he was that bad as to where, you know, the four runs kind of told the whole story. I thought he located pretty well. I thought the changeup was nasty at times, but he made a couple of mistakes, especially to Matt Olson, who hit one, by the way, 450 on Ashburn Alley, just an absolute tank shot to center field. But yeah, left a couple of mistakes up. And he paid for him, but at the end of the day, he was able to keep them in the game within striking distance. And finally, the Phillies were able to bring home some of those base runners. Because in the first few innings, I mean, Charlie Morton just could command absolutely nothing. Like, he's throwing 50% curveballs, which is kind of the story of the Phillies as of late in terms of, you know, how other teams are scouting them. The Royals threw, like, a record amount of breaking pitches against the Phillies in that three-game series the other weekend. They threw almost 50% breaking pitches, you know, kind of like Charlie Morton last night. And I think over the last couple of months, and Matt Gelb wrote an interesting piece on this in The Athletic, is that the Phillies are seeing more breaking balls by far than any other team. So it's nice that maybe the Phillies are, you know, kind of scouting that and adjusting accordingly. So we'll see how that plays out throughout the rest of the season. But teams are throwing the Phillies breaking balls, and that's kind of – they're relying on the Phillies to chase, and if they're not, that's kind of when they're going to be able to do damage. But in the first few innings last night, you know, the Phillies were taking. They were getting their walks. They were getting base runners. They just couldn't get the big hit to bring them home. But Brandon Marsh ends up being the big one. That comes through, getting that three-run homer there in the sixth inning, which, by the way, off the bat, I had thought had no chance of getting out of there. There was a little jet stream going on at Citizens Bank Park last night with the wind going, you know, out towards left field, out towards left center, but it gets caught up in there. I thought it was going to, you know, die at the wall, but it gets over, makes it a 4-3 game, which is just absolutely huge. And again, Brian Snicker, I don't know what you're doing, man. Like, you saw Brandon Marsh hit an absolutely mammoth home or just a huge home run given the situation in the National League Division Series a couple years ago when Charlie Morton probably should have been taken out of that game. If you remember, he got hit in the elbow, I believe, and then was not taken out of the game by Brian Snitker, and then allows the home run to Brandon Marsh to make that game, what was it, 3-0 at the time? So, again, Brandon Marsh, massive 3-run homer against Charlie Morton, against the Braves last night, makes it a 4-3 game after there was just absolutely no life in that ballpark. I mean, I am sitting on my couch, like I said, just slumped over, mad, annoyed, getting ready to start planning for a podcast where I'm reacting negatively once again, but never a doubt. Never a doubt. Brandon Marsh comes through, and then Nick Castellanos, of all people, who has just been one of the most consistent hitters on this baseball team lately, which is just an absolute revelation to see. And since June 1st, he's batting over 280, 12 homers, just about 50 RBI. Like, he's been great since like the start of June, even May. It has taken him a while to get those numbers up because, boy, when he started the season, those numbers did not look very good. I think he was hitting like 180 at one point, maybe through like half of the season or halfway or the first month of the season, excuse me. But he has slowly but surely continued to climb those numbers up. And I mean, it just goes to show his consistency and what he's been able to do over these last few months. And the fact that he is now up to around, 250 with a OPS that's, I think, 728, it's massive because he had a OPS through, I'm going to say, April. There was like 5-something, and it was just really bad for Nick Castellanos, and it was not going well this year, but this is the guy you expected when you signed him a couple years ago, and this is the type of production you were expecting, coming through with guys on base and being able to, hit clutch home runs like that. And I would say that moving him in the 5-hole has definitely helped a little bit, because he talked about the other night in his really funny post-game interview, by the way, which, again, he's nobody can give a good quote like Nick Castellanos. That's all I'll say. But he said that he thinks it helps him just because he's getting pitches to hit, because you have Bryce in front of you. You have Boehm in front of you, who, again, we'll also talk about in a second here. But you have these guys in front of you, and you have a little protection in the lineup. You're actually going to see strikes. So the fact that he's getting pitches and he's able to kind of capitalize on them and not just get everything out of the zone to where he feels like he has to chase, that is a good thing for sure. And he was able to, I was shocked that he got 2 fastballs last night. The first one he got was right down the middle, and it was, he put a really good swing on it, and he just swung and missed. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now it's just going to be strictly breaking balls the rest of the at-bat. But right then, directly the next pitch, the Braves reliever puts the ball right down the middle, fastball 95, and Castellanos absolutely punishes it. So that was an interesting decision there by who? I think it was Holmes was the reliever. Yeah, Grant Holmes. So that was odd, but Nick Castellanos taking advantage of a bad pitch there for sure. And, as I get into the rest of this podcast, I want to talk about, the lineup as a whole, as they come off a good Royal Series where they win 2-3. They, win 2-3 against the Astros earlier this week, and they take the first game against the Braves last night. Have to talk about the Taijuan Walker situation because that has clearly reached a breaking point. We got some news on that yesterday, so going to touch on that as well. And I'll get into a preview for the rest of the weekend, and we will see where that takes us. But exciting stuff after the win last night, for sure. And just talking about the rest of this lineup for a minute, Alec Boehm did leave the game last night, had a hand injury, swung awkwardly early in the game, and then tried to stay in the game. He ends up in that same at-bat staying in, hitting a ground ball to second base. So you could just tell how uncomfortable he was and that it was just a matter of time before he was going to have to leave that game. He ended up going back in the field for another inning as well, but it was an awkward swing. It was only the second swing on his first at-bat, so interested to see what ends up happening there. They did get x-rays back, and they said it's negative. I know the broadcast and some other people were speculating at first that it could have been a hamate bone, which obviously would have been quite bad, would not have been good at all. But the x-rays were negative, so that is good to see. It doesn't look like it's a bone thing. Maybe he just pinched a nerve and just felt weird in his hand, and they didn't want to risk anything. No, Rob Thompson said after the game that he was just sore right now, that the x-rays were negative, and that he is going to evaluate later on. And who knows? Maybe he plays today. Maybe he gets the day off. Not sure, but we will see there. So, top three in the lineup. They're kind of struggling. They're going through it right now. And I think a big part of it is that, like I said earlier, they're seeing a lot more breaking balls over the past couple of weeks than they have in a while. I mean, Schwarber's still getting his walks, but he is not having a good stretch at the plate right now. That is for sure. And I could, I think that you notice it less just because he's still getting on base. But Schwarber, what he was doing so well in the first half of the year was he was just taking the hits where they came, and that's why people were so thrilled to see that he was his average was up and that he was producing more as the leadoff hitter in terms of just pure hitting. So would expect him to kind of break out of this eventually. I mean, he's hitting 150 over his last 10 games with no homers, so really would like that to kind of improve over this weekend. That would be great. And Trey Turner is the same thing. A lot of chases out of the zone, kind of similar to when he was struggling before the ovation last year. And I think he's going to get out of it, but just, again, not great numbers, along with Schwarber and even Bryce Harper, who now is not homered, I believe, since August the 9th. It was the 8th or the 9th against the Diamondbacks, which is obviously not good. And I think that with Bryce, it's just a matter of him finding that one swing and just taking off from there. Like, he's gone through these homerless droughts before, and like he had one last year. He had one after he came back from the injury in 22. And it feels like once he gets that one swing, like in 22, it was the Miles Michaelis home run in game two of the division series, where he just found that swing and boom, takes off from there. So I expect Bryce to bounce back and for that one swing to kind of get him back on track. But we're just kind of sitting here waiting for that one swing, and pitchers aren't giving him too many strikes to hit. I feel like that's a normal Bryce Harper thing, but at the same time, he's got to be able to drive the ball and drive it out of the ballpark. And a lot of the stuff is still on the ground, pull side, and that's when it feels like he's not going as great. I feel like when he's going oppo and he's lifting the ball, that's when you know that Bryce Harper's locked in, and he just has to get back to that. And being able to have Castellanos behind you hitting well is massive, and Bohm hasn't been hitting well directly behind him before, so maybe that has something to do with it, and we'll see how the lineup shakes out tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if Bohm sits and if Castellanos is in the four spot, but again, he's Bryce Harper. He's going to figure it out, but at the end of the day, they really do need the top three guys in this order to be able to come through, because you have nights like last night where you have a ton of base runners on. Like, it felt like they had the leadoff batter on in every inning. They had first and second a number of times, and they're not able to score until the sixth, and it's a large part due to the top of the order not being able to come through with the big hit. Luckily, you had Brandon Marsh last night, who was able to come up with the big hit down in the order, but it just feels like you need those top three guys to get going if you want this team to be where you expect to be at. So that is kind of where I'm at on those top three guys, and we'll see how the breaking ball stuff kind of develops over the course of the rest of the year. I think that it is very intentional what other pitching staffs are doing right now and how they're scouting them and making them chase. And again, Schwarber's still getting his walks, so that hasn't been the issue with him, but he hasn't been getting those base hits like he had been for the entire season prior to the last couple of weeks. So would love for Schwarber to heat back up and for the rest of this lineup to follow suit. So Bryson Stott, I think he's getting better.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I think that Bryson Stott over the last month has really made an effort to try to not necessarily just go with the walk approach to things, because it felt like that was the one thing he was kind of doing well all year, was just, you know, having a much better eye at the plate than he had in the previous few seasons. And I think that he kind of got away from what he does best, which is, you know, just put the ball in play and beat some balls out on the ground and be able to play, you know, in that way and be a 280 hitter and just kind of, you know, be the little, I don't want to say slap hitter, but just be able to pepper the ball and get it into play. And I think that we've seen signs of him kind of readjusting and going back to that sort of mentality. So I think it's been better over the last couple of weeks or so. And over his last 15 games, I mean, he's hitting .286 with 14 hits, a homer, and 6 runs scored. And he's also been stealing bases, which is great. I believe he's almost at 30 steals, which you love to see from Bryson. And if they can get him or Marsh, or dare I say even both, going at the time of the postseason, when this lineup, when you expect your big bats to kind of, you know, pick up the slack here in your top three of the order to get back on track, I mean, that could be what ends up saving, you know, this lineup in this season, is that you have these guys who, you know, have struggled all year. Obviously, Marsh with the strikeouts, he's still one of the worst in terms of strikeout percentages in baseball. It's a big issue, no doubt. But if you get him and you get Bryson Stott, who has struggled for the entire year, and I think we've kind of just succumbed to the fact that it might be a lost season for Bryson Stott. But if you get them going, that would just be absolutely massive for this ball club. So that is kind of where I'm at with the lineup right now. Hayes just gets back to, you know, he's been okay. And Rojas actually been swinging a pretty good bat, I will say, but even though he hasn't been able to play very much lately because you have Austin Hayes and you have Brandon Marsh playing every day. But I think that Hayes has been fine, and I would like to see, honestly, Rojas a little more. I know he'll be in the lineup tonight, so interested to see what we get from Johan Rojas there. I want to switch to the pitching staff for a minute, and more specifically, Taijuan Walker, because the other day, that was not great, and it reached finally a tipping point to where Dave Dombrowski, Rob Thompson, whoever's making these decisions, whether it's the front office or whether it's the manager, finally, someone said, enough is enough. And I mean, it was getting absolutely ridiculous. The guy simply gives you no chance to win. And I don't necessarily want to use this argument as a excuse for the players on the field, because I thought the other day the offense did him absolutely no favors. And, you know, honestly, the defense didn't do him any favors as well, as Bryce Harper falls asleep on that first pickoff play. And now Altuve, with a great play, by the way, steals home and kind of, you know, embarrasses Bryce and the Phils a little bit. But finally, someone said enough is enough, and it was just getting absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you have that start in Kansas City where he just gets absolutely lit up. Everything hit hard. Just absolutely no command whatsoever. He's walking guys, not getting any swings and misses. And then he manages to be worse against Houston. Like, the first at-bat of the game, it's Jose Altuve, and he whips a double off the wall. And you're just thinking to yourself, oh boy, here we go. And you have to think that's what the players think. And again, I said I don't want to use that argument, but when the players are watching this unfold, and you know, you have Bryce, you have Trey, you have Nick Castellanos in the outfield, you have all these guys watching what's unfolding, it's very difficult not to say, you know, I say it as a fan, in the first inning, this game is over. Like, we're not winning this game. And they lost 9 straight starts from Taijuan Walker, which is just unacceptable. And it's just everything. Like, he's just cooked, I think. The velocity's not there. He's sitting at 91 pretty consistently and, you know, dipping below 90 at times for a fastball, which is just, you know, not great. And then he can't generate any swing and miss whatsoever. They've pulled the stat out a million times yesterday, but he had 45 swings the other day, and he had 2 swing and misses, which is just absurd. And I mean, he already has one of the worst whiff percentages in baseball, and the strikeout percentage isn't much better. But at the same time, every time they're hitting the ball, he's getting barreled up. Like, it is getting hit so hard. And I hated his post-game comments, which basically talked about him, you know, getting ground balls and just pitching to contact and kind of doing what he was supposed to do. Like, step up there, you take a little accountability and say, I didn't pitch well. I want to pitch better for my team. It's on me and I'm going to get better. And there was just never any of that, you know, sort of accountability there from Taijuan Walker, which I think is what made the fans as frustrated as they were, because you have this guy who's slated to make $36 million over the next 2 years. And the frustration comes obviously at the performance because it's not good. But at the same time, it just feels like him as well as the club were just being so incredibly stubborn into, you know, keeping on doing what they're doing, and whether it's keeping him in the rotation or just kind of pitching the way that he had been pitching. And I know he worked on some things while he was on the IL with that blister, which was for like a month and a half, by the way. And I just think that it's not going to work because he is at the point in his career. I mean, he's pitched in the league for over 10 years now, and he might just be cooked. So we'll see how they deal with this in the offseason. Rob Thompson did finally announce yesterday that he will be moving to the bullpen, which I have no idea what capacity, because he has never pitched in the bullpen in his life. So we'll be very interested to see how that ends up working out with Taijuan Walker. And I would assume that they probably go Tyler Phillips to the next start, because that's what Rob Thompson kind of hinted at yesterday, and they'll bring him up from AAA. They could go for Colby Allard, who actually has pitched rather well in his couple starts here, which is, I don't know how, because he doesn't really, I don't know what he does well. Like, he doesn't pitch with velocity at all. He doesn't have any crazy deception of any sort, but his breaking stuff is pretty normal. And he's just been able to get outs, and he throws strikes, which I actually do appreciate, because that's another thing Taijuan was doing. It was a lot of base runners via the walk as well, just because he was, I think, afraid of these hitters to kind of to try to nibble on them a little bit. But Colby Allard, maybe. I'm probably expecting Tyler Phillips. But another guy who I've seen kind of brought up a little bit here over the past day or so is Seth Johnson. And if you remember, they got Seth Johnson in the trade with the Orioles for Gregory Soto. And he's kind of had a solid year in the minors this year. He's got a 2.50 ERA, 1.26 whip in 22 games started. And maybe you take the chance and you bring him up. And I mean, he is 25, so and has been pitching in AAA for some time now. So maybe that is an option. They could go Seth Johnson, but you also have Tyler Gilbert, who you brought in, the guy who threw the no-hitter in his first start ever, who has pitched a couple times out of the pen for the Phillies, and you have him there too. So those are kind of your options, which, you know, aren't great at this point, but right now, anything is better than Taijuan Walker. So that's where I'm at on Taijuan, and the rest of the staff has been awesome, I think. Like, I think that's what you can kind of hang your hat on right now and say to yourself, you know what, this team is going to get it together. They're going to go on a World Series run, because if you have Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, Ranger pitching the way that they are, then I think that's a recipe for success. And being able to go into a series with those four guys, if your offense can get it together, you have a great chance to move on and to continue playing baseball in the late October and November. So that's where I think this, you know, this team is at, this rotation is at, is that this team is sort of going to go how the rotation goes. And when they were going through those struggles, it was when Ranger was hurt and Sanchez was going through a little hiccup and Nola was going through a little hiccup. Nola has really reeled it in over the last couple starts. Like, that start the other night, 7 scoreless, like, he was phenomenal. So good stuff from Knowles. Hopefully he can keep that up. And he's quietly been one of the better pitchers in baseball this year. Just Mr. Consistent, man. Just always, you typically know what he's going to give you throughout the course of a full season. And it has been really good. So good stuff from Nola. Good stuff from the rotation there. The bullpen, I feel better about. I thought Hoffman closing out that game last night was kind of interesting. They went to Hoffman instead of Carlos Estevez, who I think that was the right move from Rob Thompson. And Hoffman had an electric inning there. Orion Kerkering also last night had an electric inning, and he might be fully back. Like, he has been really good over his past, I would say, 5 or so outings. He's using the fastball much more, and obviously we know how deadly the sweeper is, but he utilized it really well last night, got a couple of strikeouts, really quick inning for Orion Kerkering and for Jeff Hoffman as well. And Matt Strom in between them with a good outing as well. And I feel like those are kind of the three guys you're going to be relying on most here as the season winds down. But Jose Ruiz continues to put up great numbers since the All-Star break as well, and he has been sort of shut down for them. So we'll see if they hand him some of those high leverage situations. I don't think he'll be getting, like, you know, the eighth inning in a one-run game, and that's kind of going to be reserved for those three guys I just mentioned. But the bullpen's been good. I think they've been much better, and the Jose Alvarado stuff, I will say, hope he and his family are okay. He took a personal leave away from the team, so really hope him and his family are all right. But until he gets back, I would expect a little more Tanner Banks in terms of, you know, your second lefty behind Strom out of the pen. So that is where I am at with the bullpen. And before we get out of here, I want to preview the next three games in this Atlanta series. So we will do that right now. Tonight, you have another 6:40 start from Citizens Bank Park, and it'll be Ranger Suarez making his second start since the injury to his back. And he will be going up against Ronaldo Lopez, who the Phillies have already seen, who has had a very good year for the Braves and has been good since coming back from, I think it was, a little elbow soreness. So came back from that, has looked really good, has an ERA just over two through this season. So he's been very good. And then Saturday, you have a national TV game on Fox at 7:15. You've got a great matchup, Zach Wheeler going against Max Fried, who has also been much better as of late, Max Fried. So very nice that they don't have to see Chris Sale in the series, by the way. He ended up pitching the game in Minnesota before they flew to Philly. So Phils will not have to see Chris Sale, who might end up being the NL Cy Young winner. So that is good to see as well. And then Sunday, you have Sunday Night Baseball at 7:10. It'll be Aaron Nola going up against Spencer Schwellenbach, who the Phillies have also seen this year and has turned into a really nice pitcher himself, a former shortstop, has a really live arm, and did really well against the Phillies down in Atlanta earlier this year. So we'll see how that goes, and it'll be Sunday Night Baseball, so big game. And, you know, now that the Phillies won that first game, you don't have to worry about the sweep, but, you know, it gets scary because they had a five-game lead heading into this series, and you can go all the way from one game if you lose all four to nine games and basically putting this division away if you win all four. So that's why getting that win last night, just so massive to start off the series. So with that, that'll wrap up this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. See you, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.